to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf Dealer. They're the green guys up there on Twin View Boulevard. Go up and see them if you're looking for a tractor or a mower or a implement. Need parts or service for your tractor, they do it all up there. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. They got some great financing going on right now, too. 84 months, 0%. So,
how many months?
84.
Okay, I thought you said 84. 84. How long is that?
The next step is they're going to be free, but I haven't actually announced that yet. But you might want to go up there and ask them when that's going to happen. You know?
Hey, no one's doing that. That's exciting. Remember when all the cars did that?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So if your tractor's a pain, go switch it out.
0% is back. So, yeah, go up and see them.
That's fun. Huh. Well, and the other part that's fun is we're not sick this week, mostly. Kind of
mostly,
are.
Yeah.
Kind of are, but mostly not.
That's some residual.
Yeah, it's unlikely we'll have to throw blankets over the microphone so we can cough really, 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 really loud. Probably not. So let's see. What is happening? We're having a little issue getting our guest on the line, or maybe we're not. Huh. I'm going to tell you about her anyway.
Yeah, tell us all about her.
We are taking a... Taking a departure today. Kind of a fun departure, actually. I read this article. Okay, I'll start with that. I got to post it, too. I'll post it for you online. I read an article in February of 2018 in The Federalist. And it was, I should have it pulled up here, but I don't. Anyway, it was a terrific article about the transgender movement and who was behind it. And at that time, we were all still thinking, we were all thinking that it was like a social thing and it was, it was just to mess up society and all that sort of thing. And this article, here we go, Who Are the Rich White Men Institutionalizing Transgender Ideology? That was February 20th of 2018. And actually, they list this on the Federalist. It was a 17-minute read. So it was not a little blip of an article. I mean, it was a long one. And it kind of caught my eye because it was back when, you know, men were responsible for everything and, you know, they were getting blamed for everything. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how are they getting blamed for this? Well, it turned out that the issues were, this is skipping into the article. I found exceedingly rich white men with enormous cultural influence are funding the transgender lobby and various transgender organizations. These include, but are not limited to, Jennifer Pritzker, who I guess is a man who thinks he's a woman now, George Soros, Martine Rothblatt, who is a man who identifies as a transhumanist, transgender and a transhumanist. So I guess if it has trans in front of it, he's doing it, or she's doing it. Tim Gill, Drummond Pike, Warren and Peter Buffett, John Stryker, Mark Bonham, and Rich Wayland. He is deceased, but it's his philanthropic organization that is worth a gazillion dollars. So separating transgender issues from LGBT infrastructure is not an easy task, and the wealthiest donors have been funding LGBT institutions before they became LGBT instituted. And you're looking at Tides Foundation, all sorts of stuff. And when you dig down into this article, this is a new medical market for them. Clinics for children, clinics for people going through all these changes, taking medications for years and years and years and years. All of these things that it was a giant money grab, bottom line. And I think people have kind of caught on to that. But honestly, that was 2018. And we still have not really caught up with that. That has not come out. But we're constantly being barraged now with, men and women sports. And, you know, they had it was on something. And there was a jump ball at a basketball game. And it was a boy, obviously, I don't know if you're dressed like a girl in a basketball uniform, everybody wears the same thing, but it was a boy who was like 6 feet tall and a girl who was like 5 foot five. And then the boy jumps up to like 8 feet and hits this, you know, sticks his arm up, and that was the end of that. There was absolutely no, like, no fairness, no...
Well, I read an article about a boxer, a trans boxer that was in women's boxing, and I guess I could, you can imagine what the outcome of that was. It was not good.
No, not good. So anyway, Sharon Byrne is the new head of Wolf that I hadn't heard of before. It's the Women's Liberation Front. And I was like, well, I didn't even know there was a Women's Liberation Front. It's a nonprofit, government relations. She's a nonprofit and government relations expert with 2 days, or 2 days.
2 days experience?
2 days experience. Definitely what the resume said. And they were like, oh my God, 2 days? Great. All right. Sorry about that. Glad she's not on the line. she's got 2 decades. Yeah, that's 20 years, not 2 days, of advocacy leadership experience. And she has this really long, rich history. And it, I'll tell you the rest of it if we can get her on the line. And I've got, there's a lady who lives up here in Northern California who has a home up here and lives in Southern California, and she said, hey, I've got this friend, Sharon. And I said, well, you know what? I've been trying to talk about this, this whole women's issue, and nobody really wants to talk about it, that this transgender thing is, where this intersects with women's rights. We've always kind of wondered, like, where are the feminists in all this as, girls are being, you know, basically crushed in sports and everything else. So I thought we'd bring on somebody who knew about that sort of thing, but we're having a little trouble doing it. Well. So let the games begin. How about we do, let's see, let's take a nice little break perhaps, or maybe we got a cell phone call her or do something fun. I don't know. I don't even have songs pulled up. It's terrible. Life in real time.
Yeah.
Life in real time is a problem. And Bill's just sitting over there looking at the sky. What can you do for me, Bill? What do you got?
I have nothing. I was just imagining a really cool interview right now, which I'm sure will happen. We gotta do some juggling here.
God, you are no.
I know. I'm sorry.
No help.
No, but I've heard for quite a while that the women's movement is very upset about the whole trans thing because
they're kind of not saying, and they're being silenced.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
There's a lot of that, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, yeah, we'll take our little break ahead of time, and then. They're like, this is the only problem about live radio. You have live problems. You have real-time problems. So our real-time problem is our guest, or lack thereof. How about this? We are going to take a break. I shot him a song, Allentown. It's got nothing to do with nothing, but I do like that song, and I saw it. It was early in the playlist, because it starts with the letter A.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Sneak preview. We have a new engineer, so he might as well do our show for the first time and just have, like, tons of problems. What the heck? Let's put everybody under the diamond crusher here. All right. In the meantime, I'm posting the article for you from the Federalist, because honestly, you really ought to read it. It's like 7 years old. Oh, and by the way, before you send me emails, I did try to get the lady who wrote the article to come on the show. I'll make another run at it, because I did it a couple of years ago. And I really wanted her to come on and talk about it. It's the best article I have read since, actually, and I've kind of looked at this issue. Couldn't get anybody to come on, and that was a hot one. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find everything about the show, not the screw-ups, you know, just the good stuff about the show, at wethepeopleradio.us.
We're living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the Joseph's chambers. They're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't.
How fun is that? And I picked a really long song, accidentally. Oh, what a day, what a day. All right, so this is the thing. Turns out our good new friend Sharon had to have an emergency something or other. And she's having an emergency, I can't be on the radioectomy.
And it was successful.
Yeah, ruh-roh. And she forgot to let us know. So we just got a text from her from wherever you get those done. And so we thought we would roll you back into our other good friend, who is Lyle Rapacki. We chatted with him about elections and stuff in November, and we are not prepared to talk about the transgender movement for the next 2 hours, just full disclosure. Otherwise, I would have done it 7 years ago when I wanted to. But
I think you need to clarify that statement. Would you want to do 7 years ago?
Hey, you know what? That's going to be a surprise for you later.
Oh, no.
Oh, bad things are happening. See, this is why we don't ad-lib. So anyway, they're ready to pick up with Dr. Rapacki for you. And then we are going to put the screws to Sharon, kind of drive to Santa Barbara to do it. But we'll put the screws to her and get her back on. And meanwhile, we'll be totally healed. We won't be sick at all next week. We thought we weren't sick this week, but we're going to go play sick right now. So have a great, great afternoon. We will see you all next week. And here is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. We haven't had Dr. Lyle on for a long time. I don't know what the deal was. He was pretty important, you know, and blew us off.
Well,
and stuff.
I heard that the check never arrived. So
for the $1.85.
Yeah.
So before we completely launch into all of that buffoonery, so he is actually a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, just in case you were curious. Since June of 2010, he has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. Dr. Lyle also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white pages, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement and public safety agencies nationally. He's the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services, which carries out these functions as well as provides consultations to elected officials in and out of Arizona and other clients in the industry. We will get into the rest of it later, but he's up to all sorts of things. And we haven't – shoot, I forgot to list when the last time we spoke with him. I'm going to look while we are – is his microphone on? He's very quiet. He's not usually this quiet. There's something funky going
on. Can you hear me now?
There you go.
There we go.
He had you on super mute. You're like, tell her to stop it.
I was sitting having a nice doze, and then all of a sudden I kept hearing all this chatter.
And then ba-bang. Ba-bang. So, we haven't talked to you since January 29th of this year. In the heck?
Well, legal counsel suggested I not discuss anything until your check for $1.85 cleared. Now, I will say to the audience that the first part of the check cleared the full dollar. I mean,
it was the 85 cents where we bungled it.
But that 85 cent thing took how many months to sort through?
I called the bank, Lyle. You can go ahead and run that through again. I think it'll go through this time.
Bill, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of you, brother.
I know it. It's boy to boy. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
None of this woke to woke crap.
No. No, when it comes down to money, we don't mess around.
No, we don't.
No, not when you're under $2, that's for sure.
No, a man needs to know his limits.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So what have you been doing the past year?
So, what show is this again?
Yeah. Well, since we haven't talked to you in a long time, we don't have to do the Seinfeld show where we talk about nothing. We can actually talk about something.
We're already doing it.
I know. Okay, you can't help it. It's like a sickness.
Oh,
you make that happen.
Oh my gosh.
For real, I looked at my list of, people we hadn't talked to in a while, and I thought, what is going on with him anyway? So, full disclosure,
he did some other balance checks.
Yeah, well, also. I emailed him and said, hey, how come you're not coming on with this? He's like, how come you haven't invited me? So, I guess it's a tie game. We suck, you suck, yeah.
Okay. I did not say it that way.
You kind of did. It was email. Email, you know how it is. Email always comes.
I know exactly.
I think it was the all caps.
It sounded so aggressive.
Bill, I could hear the shouting. Yeah. you and I, Bill, we know these things.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this? Guy Day? What's happening?
Now what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I know. Well, you had... Okay, there's just been a ton of stuff. And, hey, before we goof around and blow it, you tell us about your Arizona Today show, because that is still going on and you've had a lot of really good people on there.
Yeah.
Let's begin with the promotion.
Since I don't do any promotions, this is awesome.
Yeah,
Arizona Today is a national show that I began right near the end of the audit, the forensic audit, in Phoenix, in 2021. And so I began Arizona Today because people wanted to know what was going on, and it just took off. I've been very blessed over many years, as Aaron knows, to have worked with a lot of different elected officials. So I've been very blessed to have met a lot of neat people. And so when it came time to discuss certain elements of the forensic audit, there were things I could not say because of sensitivities at the time, but we discussed as much as we could because we thought the American people needed to know everything. And so the Arizona Today just continued that way. I'm not a reporter. I'm not a media person. I have no background in that. And I'm more interested in if somebody's speaking on the show, I want them to have all the time they can and to explain what's going on in whatever field they're in. So that's kind of a brief synopsis there.
Nice. What's the best way for people to get, like, on the mailing list or, you know, your email list?
Because when my administrative assistant posts the show, she puts it on 10 platforms, Rumble, Get'em or Getter. I don't know what to be.
Thank God you're not the one posting it.
No, you don't want me around computers. But they're on different platforms. And then she sends them to me, and I send them out to my email list of about 500. And out of that, about another 10 on platforms. So by the time Arizona Today goes up, it's on about 20 national platforms. But people can access it directly. Just go to Arizona2day.com. Arizona2day.com. And just go on and take a look at stuff.
Nice. Nice, yeah. Because I think that, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that is not accurate. And... not well researched and that sort of thing, and so it's always nice for people to have a source where they can get information that is credible.
Oh, that's nice. Bill, do I have to give a dime back now?
No.
Can just write off that 85 cents.
So the $1.85 is now $1.75.
Yeah, just let that go.
You keep it all. I'll make sure you keep it all.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You're in there for me.
Not a problem.
So, I didn't think it was really worth a dime anyway, Bill.
I don't give a dime. Is that the deal? Today's show. I just don't give a dime. I think we can still say dime on the radio. There's all sorts of words we can't say.
Oh, watch it.
It's horrible.
He's getting ready to go for the button. Well, so So with your with the audit and all that stuff, I don't know that any of that stuff ever ends, but what is the kind of what is the latest? You guys sent it to the Attorney General after you found all of that, but then
I think you sat on it. Yeah.
They blow you off.
No, you guys are right. The Attorney General did not know the depth of the evidence that we had submitted because underlings to him kept the evidence from getting to the Attorney General in full. But we didn't know that for months. Mm. So there has been a concerted effort across this nation to not bring any investigation to alleged fraud and or security breaches to the election process. Mm. Secondly, if some form of evidence is presented in such a irrefutable manner that the courts have to intervene, we're finding that the courts won't. We also find that prosecutors, including attorney generals, are not willing to step up and serve the people whom they represent. So it's been very difficult. It'd be like pushing pudding uphill.
Yeah.
And the hill is fairly good size, but let's just for the sake of a visual symbolism, you're pushing this pudding uphill. There's nothing really per se majorly in your way, okay? I mean, there's not things that you got to blow up or work around. I mean, you can go pretty well straight up. The problem is it's such a distance and it's so unnatural terrain. And there is no assistance. So if you lose anything, you have no one to call on to help you. What I mean by all of this is when Arizona uncovered the election fraud, the alleged election fraud on November 7th, Representative Finchin called me. He said, here's what I have. Would you be willing to coordinate a joint legislative hearing? Because I've already known you've done five for us. And five or six, I don't remember, I think five. And he said, would you consider doing this one? That was my introduction on November 7th to what has now grown nationwide to be a mammoth cover-up
right.
in election integrity. Now, that started it. So on November 7th, 8th, if you will, I began to piece together the whole coordination of that joint legislative hearing when Rudy Giuliani and his team arrived. So I had the legislators to secure. I had Giuliani's team to secure. I had to bring in all these different witnesses that were scheduled to testify in open session. And we can just go on down the list. I don't mean to bore you, but I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Well, in the course of doing this, I was also briefed as to what had been feared that took place at the elections. When I began to receive some of that intelligence, it mirrored what we had in Arizona. And so that became very concerning. Long story short, what we've learned is Arizona plus six other states were targeted. They were all swing states. And they were targeted for change in 2020. Trump is not at all received well by the globalists, the elites, the uniparty people. Not at all. He is not one of the global elites, and they know there's no way they can sway him to become one. So he's a hindrance in the institution of the global community. And I mean, we can talk about that later if you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, all that, you know, the thing that we kept hearing in the wider narrative was that, you know, they went and counted the paper ballots and they all came out the same.
Well,
okay, that's the short version.
Okay. Yeah. Let me give you a rambling version. One part's not any less than the other. It's just
As soon as I figure out what song we're playing, we're going to have to take a break, though. So go, please ramble while I stress out since I was screwing around and didn't realize it was 20 after. Cue the rambling.
Do some rambling?
Or yeah, cue the rambling.
Is Papa coming back on?
They'll be around. Don't worry, they're listening.
I was like, what?
Well, because they pay me a little, you know, I don't want to say much. I mean, yours is $1.85, but they did beat you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. But anyway, I thought it was really neat. I got to drive one of their machines.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did they get a picture of that, though?
I don't want to discuss it. My attorney says we're not allowed to discuss this. Yeah.
Oh, that is sad.
Papa there's machinery.
You're fired. All right.
Yeah.
In honor of Man Day, since we're having Man World here at We the People, we've got a good song for you. We'll be right back. Yeah, so there you go. Those are your directions for the rest of the show. We want it all. We want it all right now. Okay. So in all seriousness, you guys had to count the actual paper ballots again, and from what was reported, whether that's accurate or not, but what was actually reported that we heard was that the paper ballot count came out the same. Was that even accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay. So the whole paper ballots will solve all of our problems because they're super accurate? Not necessarily.
No, not at all. You can forge paper ballots, and if you don't check that, you'll never know.
Yeah, because you're just counting the same bad ballots over again.
That's correct. We have sworn testimony notarized and fully submitted under perjury laws that tens of thousands of ballot affidavits did not match voter signature. Now, I have video on this. If you go on my show, ArizonaToday.com, and look for We the People. I know that sounds funny because that's you guys, but it's Shelley Bush, We the People. Maybe you're doing it even while we're speaking, because I know you know your way around all that stuff, Aaron.
Let's see. No, carry on.
Oh, okay. And so the affidavits have stood the test of time. Excuse me, because we've also had investigators check the very same thing separately. $1.2 million ballot envelopes were counted before signatures were even verified in Maricopa County. So that's half. About 2.5 million votes were cast. So that's half. What has now become provable was that 10,000 plus ballots were delivered to Maricopa County while the voting counting stopped for unknown reasons. So when the voting centers stopped and was no longer counting votes, it gave a reason why they stopped. By the time they reopened again, guess what? Biden was ahead by whatever he was deficit. So that's provable. That's not an opinion.
Yeah, and so, but what was the whole thing where they said that, you know, and I watched your hearing and all of that in real time, you know, what, two years ago?
God's well, yeah, because, yeah, Steve, because when we set it up, I had 10, am I right? If I am wrong by one, I apologize, it's 2.5 years ago, but I had 10 national media outlets that I approved to film everything, all 10 hours from 9 in the morning until I forget when I was supposed to go to 6 or so. I moved it up and got us out of there about an hour sooner. But it was a 10-hour day, and a right side, oh my God, I'm going to do this and screw it up, aren't I?
You're supposed to surprise us with that part.
Yeah, I know, but all these wonderful media outlets worked with me and my representatives, because I had different representatives coordinating different, I had 10 different sections I was coordinating on and on. So it became very complicated pretty quickly. But one of the things that we also learned after this joint public hearing, and then I started my show, it was clearly, I was not clearly trying to be competitive with you guys or anybody. I never even felt like that. I just thought, well, there's some information that should get out to the people, and I think that might make a difference. I mean, I think it'll help them understand. And that's really what I did.
Yeah.
And it took off.
Yeah, it was really helpful, because you were talking to the people who were actually involved in all of it.
Yeah.
And so when, and I kept the Cyber Ninjas, when they worked on all of that, they were just, I mean, they were demonized, I guess, to put it mildly.
No, you're right, Aaron. They still are being demonized, and they're, Doug went ahead and terminated the business, filed bankruptcy, and got all of his employees different positions, really nice. In fact, every single one received a pay increase. He felt terrible. It's been 2 years almost since the hearing, and it's been over 2 years for the hearing, but since the forensic audit, and Doug is, I forget how many times he's been subpoenaed to appear before grand juries or some other fact. It's interfered with his ability to work, because a lot of people don't want to touch him. He's too controversial or whatever. And it's a shame. It's an absolute crying out shame. It's the weaponizing of our Department of Justice, etc., which is what has been discussed openly. Doug Logan, I knew him fairly well and have known him. He and I met a month, actually 5 weeks before the forensic audit began. We began to look at not only things like where it should be held, but what would be the unique considerations, security considerations, media considerations, and 100 other food implications, you know. So we began to meet and discuss all these things long before it was even held public, so we could have the time, along with one of his other key people, have the time to review everything, make changes, you know, that way we'd hit the ground running, so to speak. So he's a very honest, very sincere, very good heart, Doug, and his wife and his children. And yeah, it's taken quite a toll on him. I think it's taken a toll on others who have stood the course and have attempted to sincerely reveal the level of atrocities and fraud and security breaches that occurred in both the 2020 and 2022 elections. I really don't know what it's going to take to wake up people completely. I'm glad to see people more awake today than even since last January, a year ago, let's say. But, boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We're on a very, very slippery slope.
Well, and the thing that I don't want to miss that seems to get buried in whenever you start talking about the voting issue is that just stopping, you know, the casting of ballots for people to just disengage from the system of voting, that doesn't fix the problem. You know,
no,
you have a lot of people who just go, well, that's it. I'm not going to vote anymore. It's like, that's actually not the best idea.
You're right. Very right. Because the socialist movements in this country are trained, and I mean that literally, they're trained to go the course that any obstacle that comes in your way, any, regardless if it's legal, some physical, whatever, doesn't matter. Any obstacle in your way, you just merely divot or pivot and move around and keep going. If you do get stopped, the Rules for Radical Handbook will teach that at the very first opportunity, you pick up and continue with where you left off. In other words, you don't deviate from your goal. You don't deviate from what it is you're going to accomplish. Conservatives, they don't have that mindset.
No, because we, you know, typically we're working in sort of an A to B paradigm. You know, let's find the straight line, go there, and then go back and live our lives. Go back and work, run our businesses, live our lives, deal with our families. You know, we're not just sitting there sharpening our axe all the time, waiting for the next, you know, protesting. It's funny. We ran into some people in church today at the end. We hadn't seen in a long time. And it's like, how's it going? You know, the usual. And then his wife goes, you know, what's up with all these people protesting? And they both go, yeah, what we want to know is, how do these people afford to protest all the time? Like, don't they have to go to work? And it was kind of well, that is the $64,000 question, isn't it? You know?
Unless you come to realize they're being paid right now for the work that they are doing.
That's exactly it. And that was what we talked about. Yeah. But, yeah, they were so funny. They're like, look at these people don't have to go to work. The rest of us have to go to work. But see, that's what conservatives think of that. Not, you know, what nefarious group is probably paying them, right? They're thinking, how did they get all this time off work? Well, you're assuming they have jobs.
Lyle, in light of all the inconsistencies, let's call them, in the last couple of elections and the facts that have come out, do you think enough is being done or has been done to prevent this from happening in 2024? Because I don't see. I mean, there has been changes. There's been some rule changes and so forth. But are they going to be able to do this all over again in 2024? I mean, the same thing.
Quite possibly. I just did a show a couple of weeks ago. Again, people go on to ArizonaToday.com and just pull up the videos. I did a show a couple of weeks ago with, she's the mayoral candidate. Yeah, do you remember? Gabrielle, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you had sent me a note. You said, because I haven't seen him yet, you said you had the candidates for Pennsylvania and one from Tennessee, both from two, you know, obviously two different cities, two different states.
Right. Well, Gabrielle was on the show, and the reason I put her on is because only a night or two before we found out during their election process in Franklin, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. When people went in to vote, they would hit her name, click on her name, and the vote would immediately go to her opponent, and they watched it.
Wow.
And a number of people saw this. Other people would click on her name and would have to click, 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 because it was not moving. Nothing was happening. They were clicking. And that happened to a number of people. There was also evidence that showed that numbers were being manipulated from afar. In other words, there was access, outside access to the machines. She went ahead and contacted Representative Fincham. Representative Fincham led the charge in 2020 and has continued to be one of the main people up to this time period that we're talking on election security, election fraud issues. And he's now working, has been working nationally to secure elections coming up in 2024. When we look at the people who were involved in this thing, there was never, ever an intent, a word spoken, a statement, nothing that said, we're going to go in and prove that Trump won and Biden didn't. That was never said, ever, at least in anything I knew of.
Hmm.
It may have been thought of somewhere. I'm being really deadly serious, but I swear to you, I never, ever, 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 ever heard anyone say that or anything similar. There were serious questions, very serious questions, about ballot fraud, ballot integrity, machine fraud. There were serious questions, and by that I mean now I just questions, but people were coming forward with evidence that was very alarming, if true. And yet, since that time, when we had that joint public legislative hearing in Phoenix with Mayor Giuliani, Arizona has continued to lead the way among six other states, plus even more than that, in election integrity issues. Now, I just did that show with Rebecca down in Franklin, Tennessee. If you go to that show, listen to the evidence. Listen to what they came up, what was brought forward for election fraud issues. It's startling at this late day.
And did that come from observers, election staff?
It came from poll workers, observers, and electorate. In other words, people coming in to vote.
Sure. So stepping away from the process doesn't fix it, but getting involved in it and being hands-on with it actually is the
name of the game. One of the worst things that could happen is people who really, really care about this nation and not just mouth service, they vote.
Yep.
I
want them to struggle to cheat. You know, I mean, you know, we flood them with so much. They're like, we didn't see that many people showing up.
That's a very good point you're making.
We have to take a really quick break, a real one, and then we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and he is our hostage for the next hour. Yay for us!
Have to do another hour?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So $1.80?
That's another, that's probably at least another 10 cents, you know, at the rate you're going.
the rate I'm going?
I've got to talk to her about that comment.
What?
Wow.
Come on, I just wanted to be...
Hey, Bill, help me out here.
Christmas.
I just wanted to join in on Man World. I thought it was all about the fighting. we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember.
paid a price to be free. Remember who we are. With our blood, sweat, and tears. Remember who we are. Will our children be the ones asking us one day why we didn't do enough, why we gave it all away? We keep our faith when there's no way out. When there's little hope, we show no doubt. We go the distance, no matter how far.
Yeah, seemed appropriate. We need to get off the dime and participate. And you know, before we get too far into the details and all these different things, it's really important for people to understand that in most of our areas, they are mailing out ballots. It's not where you sign up for absentee, but they automatically mail you a ballot. And one of the huge problems in 2020 was people did not understand really the system. And when they got their mail out ballots, they were like, what's this? You know, this could be voter fraud, you know, so they shredded them. You know, most people didn't just throw them away, but they shredded them and they didn't, and they decided, I'm going to go to the polls instead. Fine. But if you don't take that ballot that they mailed you, they can't verify that you didn't vote twice. So your vote at the polls gets put into provisional status and gets counted way later. It doesn't count that night because they have to make sure you didn't vote twice. So if you get a mail-out ballot, even if you're an absentee voter, take that to the polls, and they'll either give you a new one to vote in person, they'll let you drop it in a box, or it depends on where you are. But whatever you do, don't shred that ballot that they mail to you. It's not like we agree with the automatic mail-out ballots, but the fact that they're doing it, you got to be smart about how we handle them.
Yeah, because I think every county in California now is mail-in, right?
They're not all mail-in. You can go to the polls, but they're going to mail you a ballot automatically.
Yeah, they're all
going to
mail everybody a ballot.
Yeah, do they do that with you guys, Lyle, in Arizona? Do they mail everybody a ballot? Lyle, are you trapped in the cone of silence? Oh, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Can you hear us now? That's awfully quiet. That was very uncharacteristic of you.
Well, no, I was listening to you because you're right. One of the problems, there's multitude, but one of the problems has been these drop boxes where people can just take their ballots and drop them in the box. It's been proven that that's totally unsafe. The ballot does not, the chain of custody is not maintained many times. Likewise, people can submit multiple ballots and nobody's checking where they're coming from, who they are they valid.
See, we have ballot harvesting in California, and so states with, like people in California, when they saw the gal stuffing all those ballots in the drop box, she can't do that. And it's like, yeah, you can, actually. If you go gather up all the ballots from your neighbors, you can actually drop them all off now.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
That's legal now.
Yeah, it's becoming more nebulous all the time by design. That way nobody really knows what the rules are, who's on first, what's on second.
Well, and I guess that's, I guess if anything, I would say, you know, check with your county clerk and find out how it works in your county.
You're exactly right. That is a huge thing, is that counties still rule.
Yep.
One of the things we're looking at here in Arizona is the real possibility with $180 million coming in to convert our legislature to be like California. And I'm telling you, it's close right now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, it's only in the Senate, I think we have two votes, Republican over the Democrats. And in the House, I think we have three votes, four votes, something like that. And so it's that close. And yet, look, I don't want to detract, but no matter what, almost no matter what takes place at the national or even state level, counties still have a degree of sovereignty under the first, under the 10th Amendment of our Constitution. So it is really important that your county supervisors or commissioners, whatever you call them, along with a number of the county officials, are aware that the citizens are on top of this or that, or are not appreciative of this or that, whatever it may be. And if the citizens really, truly begin to communicate at the county level,
yep,
that will make a huge difference.
And it is your county clerk. In the county clerk's office, your elections office is at your county clerk's office. So I know a lot of people wait until, you know, the 11th hour to find out what's happening, but now's the time. You know, what's our county doing? How's it working? And if you're interested in the process, go watch. Go be a poll watcher. You don't have to, you know, have any super special credentials. You sign up, they might have you go to a training so you know what you're looking at. But being part of the process is actually how you fix it. Disengaging from it is how you hand it over to the people who who wanted to disenfranchise you in the first place.
Boy, exactly. Right on. And that's one of the other things that I am noticing across the country, that people are not only really angry, but they're kind of fed up listening to election integrity issues. I think, unlike 2 years ago, 2.5 when we began this, I think more people today do know there was a very sophisticated, multidimensional assault on our electoral process.
Yeah.
I think they do know that more today. But they still don't see anything really demonstratively has come to hold most people accountable that should be. And I would agree with that. It's been very timely.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, you know, it's funny. I hear from folks all the time, like, well, you know, they don't teach civics anymore. And I'm like, okay, well, you could say that, but it's really funny because people in their 70s and 80s don't know how a lot of this works either the last few years. All of a sudden, we realized most of us have gone, we voted, you know, over the years.
Right.
But you never, you know, nobody ever got into the rocket science of how voting works, you know. How does it work? And so when they started mailing out the ballots, that's where people really, really got tripped up. And they you know, ran out and shredded them or didn't want to use them or whatever the thing was. And then all of a sudden, you know, participation on the conservative side really dropped. It was really easy for them to get cut out of the loop. And we have to make sure that that does not happen going forward. But cheating, help me out.
Yeah.
Cheating can't really happen. I mean, okay, can't is a big word. It's kind of like the all and never thing. But it is, how about this, incredibly difficult for the ballots in your county to be manipulated if your county clerk's office is not part of the process. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, sure. If they're not part of the process, you don't have a process.
Right, but if they're not cheating and they have actually tabulated your stuff correctly, verified it against your paper ballots and all that, if they're not into the fix,
it's kind of hard to happen prior to it getting there.
Kind of hard to happen afterward, though, I mean, because they already know the numbers, right?
Correct. So, I think you said a mouthful when you talked about if she or if they are not in the fix. What we've uncovered are a number of elected officials and highly appointed, in other words, high positioned individuals appointed that have all sorts of motives other than to safeguard the security of our electoral process and to make sure that we the people had our ability to make choices, unlike at least the preponderant majority of the nations, if not all other nations in the world. our forefathers, as you both know, gave us that privilege. So, and this is very esoterically taught, I believe. But we have, of course, the three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. But what I have said to elected officials, don't underestimate the fourth branch of government. That is we the people.
Yep.
And they'll look at you like, what? I go, we the people. If you read the Constitution, you'll see that our forefathers did everything they could to make sure that we the people were represented and we were not squashed down like they had experienced through the King of England. So yeah. I said, if you pretend there is no we the people, you've got a problem right there, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's about putting your hands on the wheel and making that go. And in places where people don't like the ballot, a lot of conservative people don't like the ballot harvesting idea and the practice of that, and they think it's dirty and whatever. Well, that's I'm not going to say I disagree. However, if that is the law where you live, you better get with the program. So it is no longer, if ballot harvesting is legal in your state, it is no longer a problem to go forward and ask your neighbor, hey, do you want me to turn your ballot in for you? I mean, make sure that the people you know at work maybe have a day when everybody brings them in, and two, if you go down at lunch to the clerk's office and drop them off, or, we have a box here in town. It's in front of the city hall. It's kind of like Fort Knox. One of those Fort Knox box, and they pick it up at 5 o'clock. So, I mean, whatever you have to do, but get the thing turned in if you're not going to be able to get to the polls, because it's just going to be pivotal in the primary and also in the general next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear we're going to turn around and it'll be March, because shoot, we just saw you and we just talked to you in January. Now it's Thanksgiving. We have a turkey in the oven at home. We have to break for the news here. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki. We're going to talk about some different stuff next hour. So stick with us. We're going to talk about border security and those kinds of things. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Because I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy.
Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. It's always nice when the second hour comes in more organized than the first hour. That's kind of a good sign.
I feel better about that.
Do you feel better about
yes,
that?
Yes, I do.
So my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
We had a really short staring contest. Hey, it just seems so much longer on the radio.
I know it. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And you never know, one of these days you might go down there and see Lyle Rapacki down there demonstrating a John Deere tractor. You just never know. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, and they've got everything you want when it comes to John Deere. They even have pedal tractors down there now if you want to put one of those under the tree. So go down and see them or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
There you nice. Go. And just by way of information, you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got, I don't know, I've been saying we have 13 years of archives. Is it still 13 or are we at 14 now? I don't know. Lots of years. Lots of years, lots of archives. Robert's kept track of that for us and put those up and gotten them posted. And they are always free to listen to. He culls out all the free enterprise moments, so you save a little time by listening to the archive. You can send them to your friends. You can, I don't know, burn them on CDs and sell them. You can put it on your own website. We don't care. We're not going to send you one of those hateful notes that said, we want $2,000 because you used something that belonged to us.
I don't think anybody uses CDs anymore.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But I don't know if anybody else is getting those hateful letters, but it seems like I'm getting them all the time. There is an image on your website that belongs to the Associated Press. Send us $2,000 and we won't come to your house.
I get love mail.
I'm like, yeah, go ahead, come
get
to my house.
Hate mail, but...
So, anyway, well, I don't know what made me have the need to share that little detail there.
Yeah, boy.
Obviously, I'm feeling hateful about it, okay? I'm just feeling hateful about it.
I have fans. You have haters.
I have some pent-up frustration. Well, they send it to Bill, but Bill doesn't respond. And then they send it to me. That's mostly how it goes.
Oh, that's what gets them fired up, is me. Okay, I see.
And, you know, just by way of full disclosure... let's see, 26 years, is it 26 years? Dang it, I always get it wrong. I think it might be 27 now. Years ago, Bill and I got married the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which would be today. The stinking date keeps changing, so it just really ruins it. We can never figure out when we got married.
This year we got married on Thanksgiving.
because the 23rd is actually Thanksgiving this year. It's crazy. So the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because we were going to a Kubota tractor convention, and our honeymoon would be paid for.
I'm a big swinger. I know how to capitalize on that stuff.
Full disclosure theater here.
How many people do you know, Lyle, that went to a tractor convention on their honeymoon?
How many potential wives thought it was fun?
I knew I had a winner.
That's a whole different show right there.
Yes, it is.
I was like, it was super. People look at me like I was crazy. I'm like, why? It was really fun. And then we thought, see, because we're obviously cheap, so we thought, hey, this is perfect. Every year there's a Kubota tractor convention right before Thanksgiving, so we'll basically get like a free vacation for our honeymoon, you know, for our anniversary, I mean, and we'll just use it for our honeymoon. It'll be perfect.
Weave a tractor in there once in a while and call it good.
Yeah, so anyway, go figure that out.
I know that Pape called me during the break here, want to know if I can come over and work a shift with the brand new pedal tractors.
They wanted to see you fit it under the tree like Bill advertised. Clark Griswold.
I don't know why they won't let me play with the bigger tractors anymore. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's out.
Yeah.
So
I think once they check you out, you'll be okay.
So, Dr. Bepanky, why don't you veer into the other lane of border security, since you live in Arizona. Sorry about that. And what's happening on
the border? Last I heard, there was like a caravan of 20,000 people heading for the border.
We're headed for Lyle's house.
Yeah, I know. That would be a mistake on their part.
What are you saying?
I would take that as an invasion. Yes, I would.
I think we're all taking it as an invasion.
Thinking of back on your question about the border, you know, it was about, golly, you guys, I'm going to screw this up.
But stop telling this. We want to be surprised.
Yeah, but 15 years ago, what would that be, 2009, 2008, or something like that, I wrote a small report. That's how I got involved in all this stuff. I wrote a small report. Five members of the Arizona legislature dealing with border security issues. They wanted to raise their own border. Arizona did. They knew Obama wouldn't do a thing. And so they were collecting funds and working out and all of that. And I wrote this report explaining what explaining what Agenda 21 is. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Explaining what Agenda 21 is, explaining why the border won't be secured. I just, all of the stuff, well, it didn't go over well. And only one person asked me to come down and speak with her, and that was Representative Judy Burgess, who was chairman of Homeland Security. So I came down, and I spent time over a couple of days instructing why the border would not be secure. And what was really coming and what Agenda 21 was. At that time, they had never heard of me. Now, I bring all that up today because you're asking about the border. It's absolutely wide open. Texas, on the Rio Grande side, has now laid, I think, a third row of wire, of really difficult Constantine wire. and they're securing their border on their own. Of course, a lot of damage has been done, but they're doing what they can as fast as they can as a state. And the federal government has gone after them, but fortunately, the Supreme Court ruled no, they're within their jurisdiction under the 10th Amendment. Now, as Texas continues to work like crazy to secure their border, what that's doing, it's causing the caravans to come up this way. They're still going into Texas. We have maps of how they're going in, aerial, but also they're coming to Arizona and then San Diego. And the reason for this is what Obama started in pretty large detail, and then all of this was interrupted by Trump, and that's one of the reasons they're so livid at him. At the thought of him getting back in, he set back Agenda 21, or now it's called Agenda 2030, Agenda for the 21st Century. I mean, it's called different things, but what he did to the globalists is he made America dominant again. He made America not dependent on the world for oil. He made America more secure, etc. And we can go down this list. And the elites and the uniparty people detest him. I mean, when you have a Republican like a Chris Christie or a Nick...
You're not allowed to swear on the thing. We got to pay extra, so we can't say Chris anybody.
Okay, Chris, and I don't know. I'm not politically correct.
He's just horrible. I swear. I thought he was gone, and now he's back in this election thing, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, come on, really?
Well, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they're not getting any traction. 3%, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, thank goodness. But we still have to listen to the guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that one time he claimed to be Donald Trump's good buddy. It was Christie who brought in Frey for the FBI.
Christie did. Figures.
Yeah, they were tough. They were good buds, you know, tight. So he convinced Donald Trump to appoint him as director of the FBI. There's another glaring example of uniparty establishment, right?
Yeah, or just Chris Christie being an idiot, and no one should have listened to him. So there's
that also. So the border problem we have now is really the elimination of the middle class in America. What you're seeing is one example of how they intend to do that. They, meaning the global elites, those that are in the upper core here in America, regardless of being Republican or Democrat, that doesn't matter anymore. It's the uniparty people, the globalists. So they're intending to eliminate the middle class in America. That's why you're seeing prices getting so skewed, and it's the middle class that's going to pay the biggest cost of that. Also, the destruction overall of American economy, which means individual wealth is not allowed. So you're seeing that again, kind of what I just said, but also you're seeing the elimination of many of the safeguards that middle-class Americans became privy to. Elimination of private property. The government, the central powers, are doing whatever they can to seize. They're doing it out here in Arizona. When somebody 1,700 acres comes up, the government tries to move on it and seize it, or pay a dime a lot, an acre, or something like that, because they intend to turn it into a green zone. Everybody's excited because it's going to be pretty. The trees will be on it. The problem is people will not be allowed to be on it. So not only are the lands being manipulated by the government, but so are the citizens, because the citizens aren't allowed to be on the land. Citizens aren't allowed to do this or that. And that's part of what they're looking to do, is eliminate private property, because that forces people into already controlled areas.
Well, and a lot of that is being facilitated by landowners, because they're putting their property in these land trusts and conservation easements and that kind of thing. Yeah. And, you know, the only person who's really bound by those agreements is the landowner, and other than that, you've got the Nature Conservancy or somebody running it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I know you're right on, Aaron. You're right on that. It's a multi-pronged approach, but the final analysis is the same.
Yes. The end result.
The end result is that individuals no longer have a whole list of freedoms that have been removed from them, and then also they've become dependent upon the state, which is socialism. We're seeing it step up. It goes with what Obama said in his term, which is to fundamentally transform the U.S. into a socialist. So he said this publicly. It's not made up. He was unabashedly being very blunt, and that's what he intended to do. Well, look at how far he went. Part of the problem that I think Trump had is that the last 3 years of Obama's presidency, a major portion of that was the appointing of federal employees to third ring, fourth, fifth ring areas in these different departments. And so if a president changes, the first ring or two, the top rings, would change with them. They serve at the pleasure of whoever.
Yeah. Well, and President Trump unfortunately didn't really understand the structural process and didn't listen. He distrusted the people who were in politics. And, there's healthy distrust, and then there's distrust to your detriment. And in that regard, it was distrust to his detriment because he did not get rid of a lot of the people that he was actually eligible to get rid of. He didn't need cause or anything else. There's like 4,000 positions he could have just eliminated. And he didn't do it because he was kind of operating under the government is like a business, only we call it the government. But I'm the new CEO, so all these middle managers work for me. Like, no, not really.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of those people really, really caused a lot of problems. And are still causing problems, actually. They are still there. And I just can only hope that next year, when we have a sea change, that they come in and really do clean house and get rid of some of these people. I mean, I've watched, good Lord, the guy that's running the Forest Service was a terrible regional forester here in Region 5 where we are, and now he's running the whole Forest Service.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny, I told a guy that the other day, he didn't know. He goes, yeah, well, at least Randy Moore's out. I go, what do you mean he's out? I go, he's the chief of the forest. I thought the guy was going to fall over. He's like, oh, my God. I go, yeah, he's like the top dog now. I mean, Peter Principal is on steroids. He goes, oh. I go, doesn't that explain maybe like all the problems you're calling me about? He goes, oh, yeah, forget it. Okay, thank you. Oh, my God. We have to take a really quick break, though, but we're going to come back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you are listening to We the People. I wasn't sure if she received me in there. She's a multitasker. Look at her in there multitasking. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Feeling pain, could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in.
Why are you laughing, Bill?
Lyle, I don't know where she comes up with this.
Across the river, if you can't swim the tide, come on. You could try denying living on the other side, but you know, the way it's working out now, though, people from Venezuela came to Chicago and decided that Chicago sucked, and they went back to Venezuela.
they didn't like the
apparently
winter city.
That is how we fix the illegal immigration problem. We make it less awesome. And then they don't want to come here. It's like, well, wait a minute, but we still have to live here. Huh. I see a flaw in that theory. Uh-oh. Lyle, are you in the cone of silence? There you are. You're back again.
I never went anywhere.
Sorry.
Yeah, we had.
Sorry,
we're
having a little,
snafu
little
there.
Sound challenge there.
Oh, so you checked to the vocal people and the sound people haven't cleared up.
I was. You should have seen me. It was like I was landing a plane. I was just waving my arms a little bit. Apparently, the landing the plane arm wave was. I just forgot.
Always works.
You know what? If it wasn't any fun in here, then we wouldn't do it. You know?
There you go.
And if perfection, well, you know, it's like I always bring up, perfection is not the goal because we have only ever had one perfect person and we killed him. So, you know, perfection just isn't all that great.
Good point.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. An unpleasant reminder there. It's Sunday, too, you know, so I thought I'd bring that in.
Very nice.
Gave that disclaimer the other day for a debate and then I forgot to let the candidates give an opening statement. The first thing I did was not let them do their opening statement.
Keep them guessing.
And I was like, well, the whole thing about perfection we started with, yes, that. God.
Wow.
I know, brutal.
You know, Bill, I'm going to tell you something. Take another dime out of my neck. just for you.
Okay, hey, but you know what?
Thanks,
in the
brother.
Debate, I made it up because one of the questions I asked him was if these were the U.S. Senate candidates, and I said, okay, you are king for a day. You can write any bill you want. It will pass 100 to zero. Tell us all about your bill. I'm like, what a fun question, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you guys in Arizona, because you are a border state, and we see all the time, you know, we see the pictures of people roaming through everyone's private property, and that's been going on for years. So we kind of, before the break, we're talking about private property. What is happening with your poor ranchers and along the border and your homeowners
they're fighting, yeah, they're fighting a hell of a battle to survive. It's not theatrical. It's not made for television movie. They're literally fighting to survive. They're fighting to preserve their land for cattle and whatever else they may be growing. The illegals, and that's what they are coming from 160, depending on which law enforcement you talk to, 160 to 163 nations all over the world. The door is open. There is no real screening. Now, let me contradict what I just said, because there is a certain watch list, an international terrorism watch list, and there's a couple of others. And so somebody could be caught, and they have been caught on those watch lists, but the number of gotaways is just astronomical. Gotaways means that the illegal coming into America was able to circumvent Border Patrol in one form or another. They got away. Now, sometimes Border Patrol will see them. They can't catch up with them for one reason or another. So that's gotaways. But America is in terribly serious trouble. And if we have an election in 2024, I know what I just said. If we have an election in 2024, it most likely will be our last as a nation. If we don't use it appropriately, we will lose this nation. We're well on the way. We've already hit the iceberg. We're already taking on water. And there are now people who are finally starting to get wet. They're going, wait a minute, we got a problem. We still have a lot of people who are up on the upper decks partying, dancing, having a good time. They're completely oblivious to what's taking place.
Yeah, and if you were going to, like, if you're going to prioritize it, okay, so let's go king for a day, right? So if you're king for a day and you get to prioritize the order of things getting fixed, I realize a lot of them have a lot of moving parts, but from a topic header standpoint, what would be your list? Like from, what do you think is the biggest thing?
I'd secure the border first. I'd call up both National Guard and military based on the trees of an insurrection and/or an attack taking place on America. And that's what we have. We have over 10 million illegals that have come into this country. We have no idea what's really going on with them. So I would do that. I'd secure the border first. Secondly, I'd call stops to everything dealing with different wars or planned wars going on across the world. America is spread out everywhere, and we don't have the forces to protect America, much less what we're trying to do across this world. Part of it is recruitment. Kids don't want to be in the military. They're not proud of it. The things that have gone on in the military to change it, to make it more socially woke over the last four years, is astounding. So I would bring our military home from every aspect across the world, except in the most dire of straits. But no, I'd bring them home. What else do I get to do? Anything?
You're king for the day. Come on.
Yeah, I get rid of all of Biden's executive orders. Just cancel them all out. All 27 that he took, that he made on his very first day in office illegally. I'd start petroleum production here in America.
Yes.
We have more petroleum in the ground than anywhere in the world.
You know, it's interesting because one of the Senate candidates, Denise Gary Pandel, running here for Dianne Feinstein's seat in California, when she got to be king for the day, she didn't even think about it. She goes, I would immediately unleash drilling, fracking, natural gas, just, you know, whatever the thing is. She goes, 100% all in on local production of energy. And she said that would, you know, take care of the economy, that would take care of jobs, that would take care of, like, you know, she listed all these things, and I thought, okay, I hope you get to be king for the day. That'd be awesome.
That is good, yeah.
That's a major game changer for us. And taking that off the table has been a major game changer.
Oh, yeah, look what it's done to our energy production, our prices.
Price of gas, which makes everything more expensive.
Yeah. Ugh. Yep. So, Lyle, as far as the border goes, there's been a fair amount of talk just recently about maybe building the wall in certain areas and securing it in certain areas. What are you seeing in Arizona? Are they making any noise about starting to secure the wall and stop this inflow at all, or is it same as always?
Yeah, no. If there is talk like that, it's surface. It's to appease somebody somewhere. Hobbs, who we think is an illegal governor based on election fraud issues, she hasn't done a thing to secure the border. In fact, just the opposite. Doug Ducey, who was before her, Republican, he did not do much to secure the border. He sent some help down to border sheriffs, but for the most part, there's been no active stance or behavior to secure Arizona's border. You take a look at Texas's border. You've got a governor, an attorney general, lieutenant governor, who understands what it means to be sovereign under the 10th Amendment. And so they're exercising the state of Texas, they're exercising their rights under the Constitution of the United States. We don't have that here. We surely don't have it in California with Newsom. They're doing what they can to eliminate the Constitution. They're doing what they can to allow America to become a multicultural ideology. You know, you can be anything you want to be. Well, we're not going to push being an American. We're not going to push being a proud citizen of a nation that has done what it has since its inception. We're not going to push that. That's why it's taken out of schools. That's why people are void of their history in this nation. And that's just another Marxist menu as to how you collapse a nation. You remove its sovereignty and you get it following suit with the new ideology, which is Marxism.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a while we were replacing everything with climate theology. I guess that's still kind of a thing. But climate theology sort of got tangled in its own rope when people figured out that you can only drive an electric car so far, and then when there's no charging station, you know, like with the guy with the truck, and he couldn't go on vacation, he had to go buy a gas-powered vehicle so he could take his family on vacation.
Yeah.
And Ford is like, you know, this whole electric thing is not really working out.
Yeah, a lot of them are changing their tune on electric because it's not only costing them a ton of money, but there's just no infrastructure to support it.
So you look at that, you look at what people are, you know, what they're trying to force them to do. So that little, that game is sort of getting screwed up for them. But the multicultural thing, that drum is beating hard. And, okay, so what's your take on, well, I mean, I know that you're not like a Hamas guy. I mean, I don't mean that. But, I mean, what's your take on how that plays into all this? All this, oh, poor Hamas, they were attacked for years. They had to defend themselves. It's like, no. It's not what they did.
That may be a nice narrative and feel good thing. Again, if the listeners will go on to my website, Arizona Today, the number two, ArizonaToday.com, you can see videos, shows that I've done. And one of the recent shows was a two-part, part one, part two, with Rabbi Jack Zimmerman. Rabbi Jack Zimmerman is the chief evangelist for Jewish Voice Ministries, which is an international ministry. And I've known Jack, how long? 12 years. Let's say it that way. It might be
so
long.
You do know Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
You know,
I'd light that up for just a second there.
It took me a second, but then I heard it. Okay.
Bazinga.
Wow, Bill, you want to know why it's been so long since I've been back?
I know it. Every time you get on a roll, she throws Jack at you.
Hey, wait. He does know Jack. Somebody out there was thinking it. Someone had to say it. Otherwise, they were thinking we were dopes.
I would have used it too if I could have. On the other hand, you served the ball up. You're not here with the big dog.
Yep. So now that you do know Jack, what did he tell you?
Well, no, Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, and what we were discussing is what you brought up, and that is, well, Hamas is the victim. If you go and watch those two shows, part one, part two, with Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, we're discussing the attack on Israel. And one of the things that I said to the rabbi was, Jack, this is nothing new. This has been going on for 4,000 years. Ever since Abraham and Sarah could not conceive, and then finally Sarah said, well, I'll give you my handmaiden. And he conceived a boy named Ishmael. And Ishmael was the only boy for about 14 years. And then Sarah and Abraham were able to conceive. And there's where the country of Israel came out of that lineage. And Ishmael, the Hamas, the Arab culture, if you will, came out of that division. So it was a big division. We talked about it. We talk about how Hamas is constantly going after Israel to eliminate it. And they're even so tricky as they, and we all saw this in the last couple of weeks, they're so tricky as to put missile launchers right next to a hospital in the same parking lot. So that way they can release the missiles and have certainty that Israel would not go ahead and the retaliate against the hospital.
Yeah, they retaliate, and then they hit the hospital, and they're monsters. It's like, oh, that's kind of a neat deal.
Well, actually, what happened, you'll recall, Aaron, is you're right. They released the missiles. Israel retaliated, took them out. One missile hit the hospital. Oh, my gosh. Look at how mean Israel is.
Didn't it hit the parking lot, though? Did it hit the hospital or the parking lot?
No, it hit the parking lot.
Yeah.
And part of the hospital. But, this was a sign of the attack and the aggressiveness of Israel. 2 days later, what was announced, much undercover, was that the missile that hit the parking lot was actually an Iranian missile.
Yep.
And it misfired on the...
Evil doesn't always win.
Yeah, no, it did. It was just one of those.
Or shoot straight.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you look at that, and I guess, it might seem like we've veered off topic from the border, but not really, because a lot of those people either are here, are coming here.
Yeah.
And when we start talking about the gotaways and the people on the terrorist watch list and all that kind of stuff,
Yeah, it makes you wonder who's here and what are they planning.
You look at the kind of stuff they did over there and you go, I don't know. Could happen anywhere. Well, it does happen anywhere.
We got a major holiday coming and major air travel and everything else. I'm a little nervous. I mean, this has been going on for years now, and they've had plenty of time to
set up their base of operations, and Biden's given them, several years of really good open border time. We have to take a really quick break. We'll come back. We'll pick right up where we left off. Found a cute little song called not Immigration Man. We already played that one. Sorry, did I pick the wrong one?
Come on. What do I pay you for?
Illegal Alien. Can you play Illegal Alien? Do you do that one?
Not much.
Started with an I, and it was about immigration. Yeah. It was in my immigration list.
It's
you can
just
do that
over
after.
A dollar.
Can you do Sneaking Into the USA first? Can you do that one?
All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure, Bill, that she wasn't being paid more than me.
No.
All right,
no.
So my fun song is the second song now, not the first song, because I wrote the wrong one. And since, poor Christine is not a mind reader, she was not able to figure that out on her own. Mind reading wasn't part of the job. Surprise. I was going to say listen fast because Phil Collins talks quick in that one, but it's got some funny words. Anyway, we'll be right back. We're here talking to Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Okay, I can do it. Let's go.
Now everybody has this notion. Come to the USA. Don't you worry about money. Stupid Americans pay. Yeah, they'll pay for your health care. Kids' education, too. Just sneak across the border and they'll take care of you. Well, they're crossing from Tijuana and California's line. And up in Vancouver, nobody seems to mind. In containers from China, yeah, you can sew away. Cause everybody is sneaking into the USA.
Got to be the one they were singing when they went back to Venezuela. Got to be. So, Lyle, with all the, the threat assessment stuff you guys work on, what do you think about the gotaways and the terrorist watch list and all that stuff? How likely is it we have all these folks here already?
And there are already what would be called soft
Americans?
Intel.
Oh, no, that's not it.
No, soft intel, meaning there's something there, but it's not backed up completely. It's not supported with evidence, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's something there that needs further exploration. There's already soft intel of Hamas groups in America in various states, in various states. And they're just waiting for the right word to be given as to what they're going to do. I think this is very serious. I think the sovereignty of this nation has been compromised huge. And to me, that the Congress can't do something about it is just stunning to me. I think it shows just how far we've fallen from active leadership. We don't have leadership.
What would they, I mean, thing is, I guess I look at that and I go, well, what would they actually do? Because
who's they?
I mean, because that's what the Homeland Security guy says all the time. You know, well, Congress has to do something. Well, for heaven's sakes, we already have border security. We have laws about how you come into this country, and we're not following them.
Correct.
So why would we make more?
I'm not into just making laws. But what we have are a lack of leaders. Look what took place just about a week ago when they brought Mayorkas up for impeachment. He's the director of 20 Republicans, so-called Republicans, voted not to do so. I don't know how, in your vivid mind, can you not see a level of treason that has occurred in several sectors. They at age, from Biden on down, have sworn an oath to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's not happening. They're all in violation. And I, for one, am astounded that they'll just keep talking about it.
Well, even if we got rid of him, I mean, they would put somebody else in. And Biden would tell them to not enforce the law. I mean, that's border security, the actual people, the humans in border security would follow the law. I'm sure it would be a lot easier for them than what they're being asked to do now. And they're being told not to do any of those things.
Right. You're correct. From all the memos and things that do finally reach public review, It's astounding how blunt from day one the Biden people have been insofar as doing away with the sovereignty of this nation, inviting in people, giving them cards, giving them access every month to free medical and to other support. The hope is to get them to vote. 2024, and that's why they're quickly trying to do what they can to give out either driver's licenses or some other form of recognition that they're here and that they've settled in and they're a member of our society.
The thing with that I think, I don't know that it gets lost, but that is what I was going to say, is it gets lost. It's all the people who come here legally. Costs them a lot of money, takes a long time, it's a big pain. And there are so many people who come here the right way and that are waiting. Got tons of them that are waiting. And they're separated from family in a lot of cases. Lots of things going on with folks. And they can't get through the system because it's totally upside down with the flood across the border, where if we just shut the border, we could kind of get back on our feet again with that, and we would know who's in the country.
But then again, Aaron, that goes against their stated philosophy, which is to collapse the sovereignty of this nation. And if and when something like that occurs, the repercussion to all other free countries, or even so-called free countries, it wouldn't be long at all. They'd all collapse. And that's part of what is the plan, to collapse the sovereignty of each nation and make a global community with the global leaders.
Yeah, what could go wrong? Because the rest of the world's doing so well. And that whole melting pot theory in London has worked out well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's been incredibly successful.
No, you're right. And that's what they're wanting to accomplish. And don't ask questions. Just go along with it. Yeah, it's more than sick. It's demonic.
But you know what I think? If we were really going to get serious, and this is something that will never happen, not the serious part, but just a plan that would never take place, what really needs to happen is we would need the legislative branch to sue the executive branch. So basically Congress sues the president and the executive branch. It would go immediately to the Supreme Court for a constitutional decision. And they need to take them up on overreach and making laws. The executive branch is not supposed to make laws. They are the carrier outers. Yeah. They're not the makers of the laws. But at any given time, plus or minus half the Congress is the same party as the president. So nobody wants to pull the ripcord on their guy.
I hear you. We don't have leaders. We have managers.
But see, I don't think the public would go for it either. We can blame the people in office, but at the end of the day, if you look at that, let's use an example that would really implode. Okay, so President Trump gets reelected, and the Republicans have the House and the Senate, let's just say. And so they decide, you know what? We can make this happen now. And they go after Trump to limit his executive power. And it goes to this, you know, so it goes to the Supreme Court for a decision where the Supreme Court comes back and says, hey, you can't legislate by fiat, a.k.a. executive orders. How do you think the rank and file, not Democrats in the country, regardless of party, you think they would think that was a bold move, a good move that was helping the country, or would they see them as sellout heretic monsters? Because I'm thinking it's the second one.
I'm wondering if that's... if they would see him as the monster, or is this just more of the same game? One of the things I know, I don't know if I've answered you really well. One of the things I've noticed going out and speaking and being with folks is that they're extremely angry. Extremely angry. They may have been slow in anger a year ago, 2 ago, but they're at a point now where there's been enough information that's come out that proves election fraud. Not hypothetical.
Sure.
But proves it. There's enough evidence that's come out. Look what took place. Look at the change that occurred in concert with the election fraud. You've got people into office that should not be in there. And look at, because they're in it, look at what's taking place. You go down this list, you listen to the economy, gas prices, et cetera, food, this and that. People are livid. They're livid at the Republicans also because they had the Congress, and yet whatever came up is here in the last 9 months. What's any different today than 9 months ago? People are really fed up with politicians. They're fed up with people who are in public office.
Yeah, they should stop electing them because, you know, it's interesting. We had that conversation this morning at church too that they're not electing each other. Like people blame them like they're electing each other in some secret back room. It's like, no, there are 350 million people sending those folks into office.
And so if you
ask around, who's your member of Congress? They don't know.
No,
they might know your state senator. But they don't know. I have people ask, you say something about your congressman. Now, which congressman? Well, your congressman. Well, which one is it? Which one are we talking about? You only have one.
You only have one.
So it's kind of interesting, our electorate, I think if we, the people who out here in the pre-world, who are looking to help rectify some of the thing, I think we've got to help educate our own folks.
I agree with you. I mean that. I'm not just saying it because I'm not sure. I agree with you. I think people are sorely misinformed. I sent you an hour ago during the show a speech that I gave a year ago. I know it's a year
well,
ago.
By George, you did. Think, here it is.
Okay. The reason I sent that is because I read a letter that Rush Limbaugh sent to President Trump. So I read that letter, and you can hear clearly how Rush is so typical. Rush gets right to the point, and the people responded. Then the second part of my speech had to do with run toward the battle. Now, the reason I sent these to you is because Rush Limbaugh's words and my words of run toward the battle, I think, are fitting with what you're just discussing. And that is, what are the people to do? The people are so angry right now, but what I'm attempting to do is to get them to take their anger and let's do something
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, exactly.
It will make a difference.
Yep.
Because if they sit at home and don't vote, that's more room for the enemy to exploit. You're right.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, they hold people accountable that they don't help. You know, they want to just yell at everybody to go. You know, it's funny because, like, after the 2020 election, people were angry that their member of Congress didn't go fix it. And it's like, but we don't have federal elections. Elections are controlled by the state. And I don't care to tell you how many, I couldn't even count how many people I spoke with who had no idea what the Secretary of State in your state did. They thought they did the same thing as the guy who prances around overseas.
Yeah.
Terrible characterization. He probably doesn't prance, but anyway.
Well, I sent you that.
I just posted it.
Because I thought the content was really appropriate for what we were discussing. And then what you just brought up, you're exactly right. I want people to run toward the battle and stop looking to see who is running with you. Run. Because what will happen is others will begin.
Yeah, and speaking of that, nice segue, by the way. You get the Segue Award. Here we are in the last 2 minutes, and boom! He pulls out the Segue super move. Because it says here on the bottom of your email, you're running for the Yucaipa County Supervisor District 1.
Yeah, how about that?
Buried the lead. Hell, took us two. Can I say hell? took us 2 hours to crawl our way into that one.
Well, it's one of those things. I don't self-promote. It's just kind of interesting if you're running for office.
It's not really that interesting. That's called losing.
Well, it might be that also.
You got to self-promote. Come on, buddy.
You know, there may be a future show here coming up that I can bring somebody on with me. Right now, let me just...
Well, you know Jack, so we could always call him.
That's true, too. Yep.
And in all seriousness, we would like to talk to him, and we won't say that on the air, but you know, you can tell him we thought it was funny.
Okay. All right. I can do that. In fact, I will. There's a couple of folks that I'm going to recommend to you. And I've already talked to them.
Snazzy.
So I hope that is reflected in next month's paycheck for me.
You know what? We wouldn't dream of shorting you. Because that would be wrong.
You know, after how many years have we done this? 12?
Like a really lot, yeah. Yeah,
a lot.
We've been doing this we've been going around. Let's see, hold on. I'm going to find out. Bop, 2016. Shebang.
Wow.
October of 2016. We have to run away, however, because it looks like we have 30 seconds left. So our guest has been Dr. Lyle Rapacki, who is running for county supervisor in Yucaipa County. If you live in Arizona, you should get with the program. You can find all that data at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.
Thanks, Lyle.
See you guys. Bye-bye, guys.
We could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.